Good evening. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 will be the verse we look at tonight. We are going to be back tonight in our regular evening series on the Christian's identity, answering the question, who are we in Christ? A topical series, so do have the outline. We'll be looking at a variety of other passages that you'll find on the outline. Last time, if you remember, we talked about how we are one in Christ. And so since we are one as believers in Christ, we should be united with each other. We should embrace the differences of each other and seek their fellowship, seek the fellowship and help of each other as well. And tonight we're going to talk about how we are new in Christ. I will say, as I was sitting in the pew during second hour today, I experienced one of the few fears that a pastor has. One fear is that you'll be late, so all pastors are scared of being late. The other fear that pastors have is when you're about to speak on something and someone who is much godlier and gifted also speaks on that same thing right before you do. And you start to have this panic inside of, what if he says something different than what I'm going to say tonight? Thankfully, I don't think I'm going to say anything different than what Sinclair Ferguson said this morning. But I did have that experience, and I stand still trembling this evening. In all seriousness, let's give our attention now to God's Word. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse I'm sure many of you have memorized, and yet I hope tonight that the Spirit of God will refresh us as he reminds us of what it means to be a believer in Jesus. This is God's word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the word of the Lord. Last night, Ann and I were talking as I was finishing up some of my preparations, and she asked me what I was preaching on tonight, and when I said to her that I'm preaching on our newness in Christ, she responded by saying, "Oh, but I feel so old." And isn't that the experience we can have sometimes as Christians? I'm weary. I'm tired. I've been doing this for a while. I've been giving myself in service to the Lord for years now. I've been battling against sin for so long, and some of those battles have been successful. Many of those battles have not been successful, and so we feel beat up. We feel that we've put many miles on our tires, as it were, and so when we really think about it, we don't feel that new anymore, and perhaps that's how you feel tonight. You're lacking that sense of newness. But what I want us to see is that Scripture is quite clear, and that is, if we are in Christ, we are new. And it doesn't matter if we were converted yesterday, it doesn't matter if we were converted 70 years ago, it doesn't matter what suffering we have endured, what battles we have had to fight, what paths we've had to walk, if we are in Jesus Christ, we are not old. We are new. We are new, and so we need to keep that in mind so that we live accordingly, which is the goal of our study this evening. So if you look at the outline, you'll see here's the main point for us to apply. That's a main point that can be applied in a variety of ways. And again, I pray that the Spirit will lead you to apply it in the particular ways that you need to in your own life. And the main point is this: even though sin remains, live as one who is new in Christ. Even though sin remains, which it does and it will, until we go to glory, live as one who is new in Christ. And so let's begin here this evening by beginning more broadly and generally, simply that in Christ you are new. And so again, we read verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So Paul here, God really through Paul, says it quite clearly. In Christ, you are a new creation. And that is your reality. If you're a believer tonight, that is your reality. Or to use other biblical language, you have been born again. Now, you have been regenerated. You have experienced and been given the new birth. You are a new, different person now that you are united to the Savior. You're no longer who you used to be. And that's because, as we're told here, when you are in Christ, Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. And that's referring to many things, but primarily referring to your old identity in Adam. Your old identity in Adam. By nature, he was your representative, and so everything that was true of Adam was also true of you apart from Christ. And we'll talk about this tonight, but outside of Christ, who were you? Who were you in Adam? You were spiritually dead. You were condemned. You were an enemy. You were a stranger. You were a slave. Right? You were the opposite of all the things we have talked about and will be talking about in this series. That was your identity. In fact, that's the identity of everyone who is outside of Christ. Their identity is found in Adam, in his fallenness and sinfulness and curse as a result. But when the Spirit of God unites you to Christ, Scripture says that all goes away. And yes, sin still remains. Sin is always going to remain in our lives to some degree until we reach glory. There will always be the vestiges of the old man lingering around us. But you're no longer who you were in Adam when you're in Christ. Paul says in Romans 6, the old man was crucified with Christ. It's dead. It's gone. Same thing is true for your old way of life as well. Because in Christ, all things have become new. Scripture says, right? Your identity has become new, right? Instead of being condemned, now you're forgiven. Instead of being an enemy, now you're a child. You have a new identity. Who you are is different now than who you were as a child of Adam. But it's not just that your identity is new, your nature is new as well. John Gill, you'll find this on the back of your outline, he's describing here regeneration and the work of new birth. And he says it is not a working upon and an improvement of the old principles of nature, but an implantation of new principles of grace and holiness. In other words, God did not just look at you and decide that, you know, with some turns of the wrench and a little bit of grease, he could fix what was wrong with you. No, he replaced what was wrong with you. He's given you a new heart, as we'll see tonight. And again, in addition, if you look at the outline, you'll see here that if you're new in Christ, what else is new about you? Right, you have a new standing before God. You have a new purpose for your life. The resources and abilities that you have in your possession are new. The final destination, where you're heading, where you'll spend forever, is new. And the very course of your life today is new. Again, sin remains, right? There's still temptation. There's still struggle. There's still failure. But in Christ, you are a new person, spiritually speaking. You have the same personality. You may have the same interests. But who you are is now radically different because in Christ, you have been gloriously changed. And isn't that what we see whenever someone is converted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Especially if that person lived a life of more outward rebellion pre-conversion. There's a noticeable change that takes place, isn't there? I was thinking back this week at my own conversion to Christ. This is in high school. My friends thought I was someone else, right? Because I was so different. No longer was I doing the same things with them that I had done for years. No longer that I was doing different things. I was talking about different things. I had different goals and different desires, so much though that it was as if I was a different person. And because I was a different person. Not because of anything in me, but because of God making me new in Christ. And I'm sure if you look back at your own conversion, you can see that change. And it may not be as obvious. Sometimes the change is not as obvious if there wasn't as much rebellion pre-conversion. But the change is always there because when you come to Christ, you are made new. Matthew Henry explains it this way. He says, regenerating grace creates a new world in the soul. All things are new. And again, that's true for you tonight if you're a believer in Christ. You may feel like a slave to sin. Because of the battles that you're enduring. You may think at times that you're still in Adam. You may feel that way. You may think that of yourself. Scripture says tonight, that's not true. That's not true. You're not in Adam. You're not the old man. You are new, a new creation. So sin remains. We're still tempted to sin. We still have desires for sin. But if we're new, we need to believe that we're new, and we need to strive for newness, strive to live in newness of life. Jerry Bridges puts it this way: we truly are new creations in Christ. The old person we were in Adam has passed away. The new person we are in Christ has come. And that's what Paul's talking about here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so let's go on now to spend the remainder of our time considering these different aspects of our newness in Christ that I've already mentioned. And so if you're looking at the outline, you'll see secondly here tonight that since you are new in Christ, you have a new heart and a new standing. And let's take these one at a time. So first, you have a new heart. And I want you to look now on the back of your outline of Ezekiel 36, verse 26, which says, this is God speaking, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." So if you go back and you think of who were we in Adam, we had dead hearts. Not physically, of course, but spiritually. We had a nature that rejects God. Right? We had a nature that has an inward disposition towards rebellion. Right? That's the trajectory it has. That's the goal it has. We innately disbelieved God. This is always the case when you're in Adam. This is why Scripture says no one naturally seeks for God. No one on their own believes the gospel of God apart from regeneration, because we need a new heart to want to do these things, and we need a new heart to actually do these things. When you have a new heart, everything changes. Right? For one, you have new spiritual eyes. Instead of rejecting the truth, now you see the truth. The truth makes sense. The truth is appealing. The truth is what you believe now. Instead of being clouded in your vision, it's as if you're given glasses to help you behold the true reality. You also, when you have a new heart, you have new desires and new priorities. Right? Your will has been changed. Again, you still struggle with sin. You still struggle with desiring the wrong things. But now you have these new desires, new priorities by which you want to live your life. So you now want the Lord, right? You don't want sin. You want more of righteousness. You want to be made new in your actual living. You want more of the Lord and more of the things of the Lord. So you have these new desires, new priorities. You also have new affections. Right, so you not only desire the Lord, but now you love Him. You not only desire the Word, you love the Word. You love the church. You love the people of God, and so forth. And in addition to your new affections, you're also given new abilities. Your hands and your feet, if you will, have been transformed to do what God commands. And we'll come back to talk more about that later tonight. And so if you're new in Christ, you have a new heart, which is a new nature. When you have a new nature, everything about you is now new and different. R.C. Sproul puts it in his typical way here. He says, "Where once my heart was cold and recalcitrant, dead and inert to the things of God, now it throbs and pulsates with spiritual life. Once I was biologically alive, but spiritually dead. Now I am biologically alive and spiritually alive as well." This is what happens. In a lot of ways, I think you can think of it like starting a new job. Some of you, as you've started a new job, you may be given a new title. Depending on what the job is, you may have new clothes that you have to wear. You may have new responsibilities that you have to fulfill. There may be new benefits that are given to you, or new information that you acquire, new skills that you learn, all of these new things. But inwardly, you're still the same person, aren't you? Right? A job does not change who you are. But the gospel does all of those things and changes you. So it gives you a new title, gives you new clothes, if you will, spiritually speaking. Gives you new responsibilities, it gives you new skills, it gives you new information, it gives you new perks, and it makes you a new person. Because the gospel, or becoming a Christian, is not just getting a new job. It is becoming a new you. It gives you a new heart. But then also, we see here, it gives you a new standing. Look with me in Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So again, we think, who were we in Adam? We were cut off, the Bible says. We didn't have access to God, right? We were not welcomed by God on our own. We were strangers. We were enemies. We were kept at a distance. We were under his wrath and condemnation. We were far off, Paul says here. But in Christ, we've been brought near. We talked this morning about what it means to be a friend of the Lord. Right? That is who we are now as believers in Christ. The doors have been opened. Right? The invitation to approach has been given. The access has been granted. There's now this intimate, loving relationship. And so even though sin remains in our lives, when God looks at us in Christ, he no longer sees us or treats us as who we used to be. He no longer sees us or treats us in accordance with the old man, but in accordance with the new man in Christ. So no longer are we in the prison cell of his wrath, far off from him, but now we are in the royal castle of his love. We are with him. Our position before him is radically different. We once were in the standing of Adam. Now we are in the standing of Christ. So we have a new heart. We have a new standing. And therefore, we should think of ourselves in these ways and act accordingly. So if we have new desires, we should foster those new desires. Right? We should give in to the new desires rather than the old desires. If we have a new standing, then we should know that that is where we are, even if we don't feel like it. We should embrace the standing that God has given to us. So this is part of what it means to be new. Well, thirdly, there's more to this. And so we also see here that if you're new in Christ, then you have a new purpose and a new power. A new purpose and a new power. Again, we'll take these one at a time. So first, you have a new purpose. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, this time, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, as creatures of God, every single person, believer and unbeliever alike, every person has been made to glorify God. Right? That is the purpose every person has been given. But when we were in Adam, we changed that purpose to glorify ourselves. Right? We ascribed that new purpose to our lives, that we would live not for our Creator, but we would live for sin and we would live for self. And so then, in Adam, we reaped the fruit of such a decision. We condemned ourselves before the Lord, we ruined our lives, and we lacked all lasting satisfaction. Now remember the book of Ecclesiastes when we went through that. This is what it teaches us. There's no meaningful, satisfying purpose in life apart from Jesus Christ. Why? Because that purpose is only found in Jesus Christ. Paul says here, in Christ our calling as God's creatures has been restored. We have been created. And by that he means we have been recreated for good works. And this connects with what we talked about this morning. This is our purpose for our salvation. We've been made new to enjoy a new life of purpose. A life that has meaning, a life that has joy, a life that has satisfaction through obedience, service, and worship. And so when we serve the Lord as someone who is new, we're no longer spinning our wheels, right? But now what we're doing has meaning. Now what we're doing has purpose. It's important. It's impactful. It's meaningful. It's not in vain. And so we shouldn't take that for granted, right? It's ours because we're new in Christ. And if we're new in Christ with this new purpose, instead of living for ourselves, which we're prone to do day after day, we should live for the Lord who gives joy and satisfaction. And the good news is we can live out this new purpose because we've also been given new power. And again, look with me at Ezekiel 36. Now this time, verse 27. God says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Remember, in Adam, we lack all desire for the Lord. We lack all desire for the Lord's ways. But more than that, we lack all power for the Lord and for the Lord's ways. Right? We're like the dead man in the coffin. We're entirely unable to believe the truth or to keep his commands. That's an impossibility as those who are in Adam. Because in Adam, we're impotent. Right? We're without all power. But in Christ, Scripture says the opposite is true. Right? We have new desires. We have new abilities. We talked about that already. But we also have new power to carry these things out to fruition. If we're new in Christ, we can be sexually pure. We can be patient and kind. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, as we just read. If you remember at the beginning of this series, I used an illustration from Rankin Wilburn's book on union with Christ about superheroes. Boys and girls, maybe you remember this one, where we talked about the difference between Batman and Spider-Man. Does this ring a bell? Batman gets his power from where? Batman gets his power from all the nifty gadgets he has, all the tools and the special weapons he has. But Spider-Man gets his power from where? From within. Right? Because Spider-Man doesn't just have nifty gadgets. Spider-Man, when he was bitten by the spider, was changed inside. Right? There was an inward change that took place. And so that's what enabled him to do what he previously was not able to do. If that's silly, set it aside. But that is what we're talking about here as those who are new in Christ. Now, we have power to love God and obey God, not just because of the things that have been given to us, but because of a change that has taken place inside of us. And that connects, that goes back to the new heart. Right? The new heart is part of that change. But also, as Scripture says here, we've been filled with the Spirit inside. And that's how we're able to live out this new purpose. It's because the same power that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead is the power that works mightily in you and in me 24 hours a day. And so we need to stop trying to live for God by our own power. We don't have it on our own. We need to stop trying to live for God or looking to the things of the world for the power we need. But instead, we need to know that we have the power. It's not our power, but we have the power because the Spirit of God lives within us. And by His power, we can enjoy our new purpose. We can enjoy that life of obedience that blesses us with satisfaction. So we have a new heart. We have a new standing. We have a new purpose. We have a new power. Fourthly, and finally, let's also see that we have a new destination and a new life. A new destination and a new life. And we'll consider these also in turn. So first, you have a new destination. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Scripture says in other places that the world in which we currently live is a broken world. It's a world that is under a curse. It's tainted with sin. It's corrupted by sin. And so it's not the world that's going to endure forever on its own. But Scripture says instead there's going to be a new world, a new heavens, new earth, as we just read, which will be a perfect world, which will be the world where we live with God forever after Christ's return and after we've been glorified. The Scripture says that is our final destination. When you were in Adam, your final destination was death and destruction. But now when you're in Christ, your final destination is endless blessings in the glory of God, in the presence of God. Because this new world is our new home. Now, we're not there yet, but it's ours already. You can think of how the Bible says we are citizens of heaven, not tomorrow, not when we die, but we are citizens of heaven now, today. We're not there yet. Right now, we're still here in a foreign country. But that is our homeland. We have a passport to get into our homeland. And what's more, our place in that homeland is being kept safe for us by the Lord who is already there. And so since we're new, we have this new home, a home in heaven with the Lord, which means as long as we're living here in the broken world of sin, we need to remember where we're heading. Where are we going? Where are we heading in this life? What is to come? As we remember that, we should also let it affect the decisions we make. It reminds me of traveling. When you travel, you're always mindful of your destination, are you not? Right? You never forget where you're going, and every decision you make along the way is in light of where you're going. That's why you drive on this road rather than that road. Right? That's why you say to the kids, we only have 5 minutes at this rest stop instead of 50 minutes. Everything is determined by the destination. Where are we going? When are we going to get there? It's all about the final place. And so it should be for us as well as we live in this world. Because as new people, we have a wonderful destination ahead of us. We're not going to the place of torment. We're going to the place of blessing. So as you travel through life, every day in this life is a travel. Never forget where you're going. And until you get there, know that you're able to enjoy a new life. And so Paul says in Romans 6:4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We just said life everlasting is what awaits us in the new heavens and in the new earth. But new life, Scripture says, is also ours to enjoy now. And today, it's not just something we're waiting for. It's something that we are living in at the moment. And again, we have the vestiges of death. They continue to haunt us. They continue to tempt us. But in Christ, we're able to walk and be blessed by the new ways of heaven even today. Right, there's a new course of life that we've been given and that we are on, and there's a new quality of life for us to enjoy while we are on that course. And this really connects with everything that we've talked about already. That's why I put this last, because the new life is what flows from the new heart, the new standing, the new purpose, and the new power. Right, as those who have been changed within are in favor with God, who are called to obey and have the powerful spirit and ability to do so, so we are told, walk accordingly. Walk accordingly. Walk in this new way of life we have been given. And how are we to do that? By dying to sin and by living to righteousness. And Paul makes that point clear in Romans 6. He also makes that point clear in 2 Corinthians 5 before the verse that we read earlier. A new life is a holy life. And so again, God calls us. If we are new in Christ, we are to live that new way of life. Instead of spending all of our time and our energy to be more like the world or to enjoy the world's pleasures, we are to use our time and our energy to become fit for heaven where we're heading, not hell from where we've escaped. Right? If we're alive, Scripture says, then we are to live as those who are alive and no longer as those who are dead. This really goes back to what we talked about in the second hour today in so many ways. So if you have faith in Christ, you are new. That is your identity. And if you are new, know tonight, you have a new heart despite how you feel. You have a new standing despite your many failures. You have a new purpose to guide you in life. You have a new power to strengthen you that's not your own. You have a new glorious destination to which you are heading. And you have a new life to live even this evening. And so though you continue to be buffeted by sin and temptation, by the power that's yours in Christ, live this new life. May the Lord help us do that in the week to come. Let's pray and ask for his blessing. Lord, in a lot of ways tonight, we understand that these are things perhaps we've thought about for many years. This is a verse that many new Christians memorize early on in their walks with you. And Lord, my prayer tonight is that despite any familiarity we may have with this, despite any weaknesses in me as the preacher, you would apply your word to our lives. Lord, help us to continue to meditate and think even more about what it means to be a new creation. Lord, there are so many times, whether we realize it or not, where we see ourselves as if we're still in Adam and we live our lives in accordance with that old order and that old way of life. And we pray that you'd forgive us of that and that you would awaken us to our newness in Christ and that you'd cause us to live out that newness in Christ as well. So Spirit, strengthen us in that direction. And help us to apply your word tonight and this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.